Again, if you haven't been DVRing or checking out AD, it is the most scriptural, anointed, powerful production of the Bible that I have ever seen. Mel Gibson's was the most powerful on the life of Christ to his crucifixion and then just showed him resurrected. But this is from the resurrection on, as you heard, and it is just magnificent. I was in awe as I watched it. It was just, I can't tell you how God is reaching to this generation, to this world. I believe Jesus is coming, and that's why we're getting so many, God has anointed them and others to bring so many films to the Cinemark and to the movie house. I may know people probably go to the movies more than they go to church. Huh? Amen? So we bring some of the movies to you because we know you like the movies. I like the movies. I like the popcorn. I'm sorry you don't have popcorn this morning, but 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Amen. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, beginning with the 6th verse. You all got it? Praise God. Would you stand with me as we honor the author? If you would like to do that, we would like you to do that. I believe when we do that, the word, I may know who the word is. It's Jesus. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. Amen. The word, the living word. Verse 6, the apostle Paul speaking to us by the Holy Spirit, he says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Somebody say bountiful. Yeah. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Stay with me. Living Bible says this, but remember this. If you give little, you will get little. A farmer who plants just a few seeds will get only a small crop. But if he plants much, he will reap much. Everyone must make up his own mind as to how much he or she should give. Don't force anyone to give more than they really want to. For cheerful givers are the ones God prizes. Verse 8, God is able to make it up to you. Woo! Now, there's a point. If you don't get in, just take that, and it was worth your gas to get here today. God is able to make it up to you. Whatever needs to be made up to you for what you have given, for what you have cheerfully done for others and maybe was not received or was castigated or was thrown aside or was acted like it was nothing in your life, I want to tell you, God, let me tell you right now, I can't stop but preaching right away. God is going to make it up to you. Now, some of you didn't get that. You didn't get that yet. Tell somebody next to you, God's going to make it up to you. Yeah. Yeah, he's going to make it up to you. Uh-huh. By giving you everything you need. Everything you need and more. Are you getting this? This is the word. This is him. It's not me. So that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to the others. It is as the scriptures say, the godly man or woman gives generously to the poor, and his and her good deeds will be an honor to them, to him and her forever. For God, who gives seed to the farmer to plant, and later on good crops to harvest and eat, will give you more and more seed to plant and will make it grow. God will make it grow so that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest. Yes, verse 11, God will give you much so that you can give away much. And when we take your gifts to those in need, them they will break out into thanksgiving and praise to God for your help, what you make happen for others. So two good things happen as a result of your gifts. Those in need are helped, and they overflow with thanks to God. 13, those you help will be glad not only because of your generous gifts to themselves and to others, but they will praise God for this proof, somebody say proof, that your deeds are as good as your doctrine, that what you do is as good as what you say. Hallelujah. And they will pray for you. I may know you will need somebody to pray for you at some point with deep fervor and feeling because of the wonderful grace of God shown through you. Prayer automatically comes when somebody blesses you. Thank God for his son, his gift too wonderful for words. That's our word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you. Thank you for this word. Bless it now. Thank you for all these cheerful givers. You give me a good word for these. I know they've been cheerfully have given of themselves in so many ways. And God, you wanted me to remind them today. You sent me to tell them that you have seen everything they have done, all of their giving, all of their time, all of their effort, all of what they have done, and that you love them because they are cheerful givers. I thank you for it. Bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless your word, Lord. You may be seated. Glory to God. I like the Amplified on one verse, the verse on the cheerful giver. It says, let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. Prompt, joyful, ready to do it. How many know you can, people can give, but their heart's not in it? You ever had somebody give to you and their heart wasn't really in it? Well, if I have to here. No, that's not really what we want. And we it's hard to appreciate that. The message, cheerful givers are the ones God prizes. And I have a word for all of you cheerful givers out there. Amen. God sent me this morning to tell you God loves you. He prizes you above other things. He prizes other things too, but all you cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it, prompt to do it, prompt to do it. How many know that sometimes we'll do it, but we ain't going to be prompt about it? Huh? How many want God to be prompt about blessing you? Come on, somebody talk to me this morning. We've already taken the offering, so you don't have to worry about your pocket, but get your hand off your purse, and ain't nobody taking no offering here. Amen. He prizes above all others heart in it givers. God loves cheerful givers. It's kind of like the Cold Stone ice cream place. Amen. God loves it. He likes it. He got to have it. Amen. And for all you cheerful, prompt, do it, heart in it givers, there are three benefits of being a cheerful giver, and I'll get them to you, and then we'll go. Number one, God will supply, as I told you in the offering. Two, God will multiply. Three, God will satisfy. Tell your neighbor right now, God will supply. God will multiply, and God will satisfy a cheerful giver. And so we see it here in Corinthians, the 9th chapter. God will supply. Let's take the first one. God is able. Verse 8, he says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I mean, no, God created us for good works, and we've been doing good works. Everything you do for others, and you do it hopefully cheerfully. Sometimes it may be hard because whatever, we won't go there. But God knows you did it, and most of the time you did it cheerfully. Sometimes that may be a little hard, but we're not going to talk about that any other time. Aren't you glad? All right, you're not glad. That's okay. He's able to make your paycheck last. He's able to make grace and favor abound towards you. He's able to make your clothes look like new. Your tires last longer. Your car work forever. Amen. Or almost better. Your refrigerator, your lawnmower, your water heater, whatever it is. He's able to take grace and he's able to turn it. He's able to point it. He's able to shift it. He's able to move it towards you. Hallelujah. God is able to make all grace abound to you. God will give, the cheerful giver will give, supply your need. Amen. And he said he'll do it abundantly. He'll do it bountifully. Amen. I heard one preacher say to, I believe it was to the unmarried lady, he said, as soon as you get rid of that zero, he says, I'll hook you up with a hero. Huh? He also said, same thing with that dud, and I'll give you a stud. And as soon as you get rid of Boogaloo, he says, I'll have Boaz step out on the scene. Amen. God will supply. The Bible says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Amen. I said, amen. Boy, y'all act like I'm going to take your money this morning. I don't want your money. God just wants your heart today. Amen. Living Bible says, Romans 5:20, the more we see our sinfulness, the more we see God's abounding grace forgiving us. One definition of sin is doing things our way versus God's way. Huh? And so God said, we got to be careful here. God will supply. What we got to be careful with is what we supply. Who's supplying what? Amen. Look at Romans if you go. There's a little word here, Romans 6, if you got your Bible. If you'd like to turn there real quick, just something God drew my attention to. Romans 6. Aren't you glad grace will abound wherever sin abounds? In other words, wherever things look really bad and are bad, God's grace will abound even in that place. I may know God's grace abounds in Las Vegas, the sin city, so-called. I may know every city is a sin city. God's grace is abounding here. It's abounding there. How many have been to Vegas and found God was there too? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, God is everywhere. He's in everything. You can't keep him out of anything. God is there. Grace abounds. Wherever sin abounds, grace abounds. Romans 6 says, though, he says this, what shall we say then? Because grace abounds, even where sin abounds, says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Living Bible says, well, then, shall we keep on sinning so that God can keep on showing us more and more kindness and forgiveness? Of course not. Should we keep on sinning where we don't have to? For sin's power over us was broken when we became Christians and were baptized to become part of Jesus Christ. Through his death, the power of your sinful nature was shattered. Your old sin-loving nature was buried with him by baptism when he died. And when God the Father, with glorious power, brought him back to life again, you were given his wonderful new life to enjoy. For you have become a part of him. And so you died with him, so to speak, when he died. And now you share his new life and shall rise as he did. Your old evil desires were nailed to the cross with him. And part of you that loves to sin was crushed and fatally wounded so that your sin-loving body is no longer under sin's control, no longer needs to be a slave to sin. How many know the flesh is the flesh? How many know the flesh is always going to be the flesh? If you expect the flesh to be anything else but the flesh, you are deluding yourself. And so we've got to have the Spirit, amen, this new nature, this new covenant God has given us, new life, for when you were deadened to sin, verse 7, you were freed from all its allure and its power over you. And since your old sin-loving nature died with Christ, we know that you will share his new life. Christ rose from the dead and will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. He died once for all to end sin's power. But now he lives forever in unbroken fellowship with God. So look upon your old sin nature as dead and unresponsive to sin. Instead, be alive to God and alert to him through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. How do we do that? We don't do it with the law. The law just tells us we're sinners. And the more you give law to people, the more you stir up the sin nature. How many found that the more you tell a kid not to do something, that's usually what he does? Your mama ever tell you not to do something and you found yourself doing it, you weren't even trying, you just did it. Come on, you know it's true. So what do? We let the Spirit lead us. I said we let the Spirit lead us. The Spirit is given to us. So when we get into a situation and when we're all tempted and temptation comes to everybody and the flesh being the flesh, we'll want to gravitate back. The Spirit of God says, no, that's not it. Do this. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll tell the Holy Spirit, shut up. And we'll even think it's Satan. Get behind me, Satan. No, it's not Satan, it's God. They go this way. No, flesh says go this, do this. Now, I may know you still got some flesh you got to deal with. I may think you're so spiritual in here, you're no earthly good and so heavenly minded, amen. If you're so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good, so you got to get a balance. But I'm not trusting my flesh. I'm not trusting self-discipline. I'm not trusting willpower. I said, I'm not trusting any of that. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to help me in every situation and to listen to him and to yield to him. And when temptation comes, to choose the right way. Choose life, not death. Because what? The wages of sin is what? And so when we choose that way versus the Holy Spirit's way, we are choosing death. Oh, you say, well, I don't see that happen. I mean, nothing happened, you know. You don't realize what is happening. Just because God doesn't shoot a lightning bolt, huh? God will supply. Amen. God is able to make it up to you. Number 2, God will multiply. He'll multiply cheerful givers. Verse 10, he says, look at verse 10. Amen. Back to our text. Verse 10 says this. Now, somebody say now, he that ministers seed to the sower, who does he minister seed to? The pastor? The choir member? The Christian? No, he ministers it to the sower. God doesn't give seed to people who won't sow. Why would he do that? God is a good businessman. Amen. Before you can multiply, I might know there has to be a supply. Are you with me? In school, I used to have a problem. Anybody ever have a problem in school? I used to have a problem with multiplying by zero. I know I'm, gosh, don't really want to share this with you, but the Holy Spirit said to share it. I know you never had this problem, but just take comfort. I had a problem multiplying zero. It seemed to me that zero times one should be one. And zero times 20 should be 20. Or zero times 100 should be 100. How many know that was wrong? Zero times one is, and you're a lot smarter than I was. Zero times 100 is, how many of you like your math better than God's math? The new math. We'll have to go by the new math. And you know, we got to quit thinking money is the only thing that God multiplies. God multiplies good health. God multiplies a happy wife. Happy wife, happy life. Come on. God multiplies happy, healthy kids. You multiply a little too many of them, amen. So we needed him to have let somebody else multiply, amen. When he said, be fruitful and multiply, he said, that's it for us. Let somebody else be fruitful. I'm so glad for you, amen. And then one of our favorite lines is, when I asked, is, I ain't got it. Amen. You ever come out of Walmart, somebody wants something? No, I don't feel led to give that to you. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Try to listen to the Holy Spirit. But, you know, really, when you say you ain't got it, you really do have it. I ain't got no money. Yeah, you do. Look down your row. Look down your row. Go on, look down your row and say, you got it. Oh, look at it. You got it. You got it. You got it. Amen. But now we got to wait a minute. I didn't say I didn't have money. What I'm saying is I ain't got it for that. Huh? I got it, but I ain't got it for that. And so what I'm saying is that God will give seed to the sower. He will. God will multiply cheerful givers. Amen? The problem we have many times with our human nature is we want zero to multiply into what is not zero. And I couldn't get a good grade doing that, and we can't get a good grade thinking that. Amen. I may know it's human nature to want to give little but get much, to take the path of least resistance. Come on, it's human nature, it's flesh. Hallelujah. Give me one cookie, I want two. Yeah. All right, I guess I better leave number two, huh? God will multiply. How about let's go to number three, is that okay? Say no, if it's not any better than number two, don't go there, amen. Number three, lastly but not leastly, God will satisfy cheerful givers. Are you satisfied? Verse 11, being enriched in everything. Woo! Wow, to what? All bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. My Lord, does God really mean that? Yes, I'll give you so much that you can give away much. How many are looking forward? If you're not there, you'll believe in God and want God to bring you to that place. Amen. I know we got givers in here. Amen. I know people have a heart. Man, if we had more, we would give more. Amen. But I may know if we don't give what we have, we wouldn't give more than what we get if we get more. Somebody said, oh, if I'm a millionaire, man, I'd be able to tithe. I'd be able to give. No, you wouldn't. If you won't tithe on 10, you won't tithe on a million. If you tight with 10, you tight with 100. I didn't want to preach on giving. I don't like preaching on giving. You know what? You hardly ever hear me preach on giving. Can you remember a message I ever really preached on tithe? Very few. Amen. But God, I've been hearing God talking through ministers here and there, and God just, and then speaking to my, and I tell you what, God must be get ready to pour out a blessing. He must be ready to do something that he does not want you to miss out on. Because if you want to make somebody mad, just give somebody next to you something that you wish you had. And see if they look at you with the eyes of love. Come on. Hallelujah. Lastly, God will satisfy cheerful givers. Amen. Look at verse 11, 12, and 13. And 12, Living Bible. So good things happen as a result of your gifts. Those in need are helped, etc. And he goes on to the Living Bible talks about enriched in every way. God will get us to a point in our lives where we want to give what we've got. God is waiting on us. I said God is waiting on us to get happy about giving. Huh? I said, he's waiting on us to get happy about giving because he loves cheerful givers. Not what we wish we had, not what we see on TV. I may have said when they see something on TV, man, when I get some money, I'm going to get that. Next time I see that, I will get some money. I may have got some money and said, next time I get some money, I'm going to give an offering. I'm going to tithe. Don't forget Cold Stone. God says he loves cheerful givers. I love it. I like it. I got to have it. I may believe we ought to all go to Cold Stones and pastor ought to pay for it. Let me ask you a question in closing. Aren't you glad this is a short message? Can I ask you a little question? Is your heart really in it, or are you just going through the motions? Are you just doing it because you have to do it? Well, God wants me to do it, so I'm going to do it. But is your heart really in it? Now, don't answer it too quick. Is your heart really in it? Or we just go to church because that's what we do? How many want somebody's heart to really be in it? Come on. Don't love me with your half-hearted, sorry self. I'm getting in it deep now. Is your heart really in it? And is it really for him? Amen. Is it really about him? God, I thank you for what you're doing this morning. And I thank you for the blessing that you're dealing with us about. And how many, can I say this and say it with all the love? We have way too many takers and few too many givers. We're taking a lot. Flesh, human nature. And we're giving what we have to get what we want to. And sometimes not even that. We haven't talked about inconsistency. How many would want God to give to you the way you give to him? How big would your paycheck be for what you have given to him? Let's talk about money, honey. If God made your paycheck out according to what you gave him, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. Seeing what you need to reap may not just be money, it's going to be that. But you're going to be able to need to reap a whole lot more in these days that we're heading into. We got to be givers. We can't just be takers. Because that's the problem we have in this nation right now. We have a nation of takers. And everybody's found a way, a lot of people found a way to do the system. We got more people on disability that are healthier than I am. Come on. And the sad fact is people that need the disability, they have to fight tooth and nail for years to get the disability. Because the world system is run by Satan, the prince and the power of the air. They're giving people that don't really need it, and you that really need it, you got to pray, you got to fast, you got to do who God knows what. Am I tired? Some of you know what I'm talking about because you've been through it. And see, the problem is in our nation, when you get an imbalance of takers and givers, you move into a thing called bankruptcy. And we got a nation that's going bankrupt. What's even worse, if you have a church, thank God we're not going bankrupt. We're keeping our head above water, barely. I said barely. Come on. God is faithful. I said God is faithful. But boy, has the enemy attacked. And we've had to cut back, way back. We can't even give like we wanted to our outreach ministries because the attack of the enemy. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Has the enemy attacked your finances, ever attacked your finances? Ooh, brother. But is anybody, God blessing anybody in here? Bless me a lot so I can be a lot of blessing. If you get a lot of blessing and you blow up like a toad, ribbit, ribbit, you walk in here, I hear ribbit, ribbit. God says you give nothing, you receive nothing, get nothing. Zero times one is still zero. I wish my math had been right, but it's the flesh wanted that. Amen. Can I leave you with a blessing? Say, brother, we're hanging on the back of the pew. Give us a blessing. If you want a blessing, stand with me right now. This is the blessing God gave me to give you. And let me say it again. Isn't it true if somebody blesses you or you bless somebody else, how happy and how it makes you feel, how valued and appreciated, and how much God loves that? And how many know somebody loves that? You ever had somebody bless you and say, oh, you shouldn't have done that, but here, give it to me. Or they'll say, oh, no, you shouldn't have done that. Here, take it back, but you're wishing. No, don't take it back, please. I want that. I'm trying to be humble here or something, you know. Come on. It's so good when we bless. And it's so good when you do what you do, when it makes someone else happy, makes them feel valued and appreciated, makes you feel good. Better yet, God loves it. And he loves you for doing it. I said he loves you for doing it. Let me tell you, there's somebody that hates you for doing it. And that's the devil. He doesn't want the kingdom of God blessed. He doesn't want your brother, your sister blessed. Doesn't want your family blessed. And I'll tell you, they will not be blessed unless we become a nation of givers. Amen. And I may know this bleeds into other areas. This is a heart issue. I said it's a heart issue. God says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do you know where your heart's at? God says you can know where your heart's at. This is a gauge. It'll tell you where your heart's at, where your heart's really at. See, nobody knows really knows their heart. Are you hearing me? The heart, the Bible says, is wicked and deceitful above all things. I don't even know my own heart. God knows my heart. I've got to go to the Word, amen, to help my heart. Hallelujah. We have a lot of physical heart trouble in America, but we got more spiritual heart trouble, and we don't even know it. But I tell you, when push comes to shove, and things are happening like they are, it has a way of revealing itself. What you do today will show up tomorrow, good or bad. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You still waiting for the blessing? See, the whole message is not to get on anybody's case. The whole message is to tell you that God loves that you're a forgiver. He loves everything you've done for others. Matter of fact, he loves it so much you ought to hug yourself. Put your arms around you and just, whoo, you are loved. I said, you are loved. We don't realize that because there's so much taking and so much wanting more and more. How many have had people take from you so much you have nothing more to give? I mean, you just, what more can I do? Sometimes nothing pleases and nothing satisfies, but God is satisfied. God is pleased. And God wants you to know today when you walk out of here that, bless you, that he loves the cheerful giver and he loves what you've done. And not just today, yesterday, last week, but he's seen it from the beginning. Here's the blessing. 1 Chronicles, 4th chapter, 10th verse. You ought to mark this down and pray it every day. Amen? Ought to mark it down and pray it every day. Matter of fact, let's read it together. Read the blessing together. Hallelujah. Do I have to open my Bible again? Yes. Or get your smartphone out. I want you to put this one down because this is what God gave me for you. Somebody said, don't blame God for that. No, God really did. Look at it. Have you got it? When you got it, say, I got it. 1 Chronicles, 4th chapter. There was a guy called, you've heard the blessing probably, called named Jabez. His name meant pain. How many have ever had a kid that was a pain in, well, you know where, huh? I mean, know God's got some kids and he has a pain in some places too. Ah, oh, you never were a pain in your parents? Huh? Everybody's so spiritual in here today. My God, I mean, I was a big pain. Jabez, 1 Chronicles, 4th chapter. His mother named him Jabez because he had such a hard time. She had such a hard time with him at birth. Jabez meant pain or distress because I had him with sorrow. How many know we've had a lot of sorrow, many of us? Huh? Is there anyone in here that hasn't had sorrow and some pain? Let's read it together, verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. And Pastor is the only one that read it. Thank you. You are the most disobedient congregation I've ever pastored. God told you to give, you say how much? To jump how high? I don't care how high, just jump! Are you ready now? See, I'm done early today, but you're going to drag it out if you're not careful. You could be at lunch a lot quicker right now. All right, together now. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. He said that it won't grieve me, it won't cause me pain, that you would keep me from evil. How many know that's a good prayer? Keep me from evil, that it won't cause us pain, Lord. Because there's a lot of pain and a lot of evil in our world today. We need this prayer. Living Bible says he was the one who prayed to God of Israel, oh, that you would wonderfully bless me and help me in my work. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all evil and disaster. And God granted him his request. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you would bless each and every one. Bless that one. Bless the one to be a blessing. And Father, make us even more givers of the grace that has been given to us, the blessing that you have given to us. Lord, I thank you for what you're speaking to us. I thank you for the days in which you have determined that we should be alive and should live in difficult days. The Bible says perilous times, perilous days, trying days. And Lord, there are times coming. There is an economic crash coming. I don't know when. We cannot be how many trillion dollars in debt. If you did that, you would already have crashed and burned. God, forgive us as a nation. Forgive us for thinking that we can overcome alcoholism by drinking more. How foolish that we can get out of debt by spending more. God, help us, every one of us. Bless us, indeed. Bless that one standing in your presence, indeed. In their deeds, let their deeds be what you can bless. Give God something to bless. Give God something to work with. Give God. He will give seed to the sower. Sow your seed and reap your harvest. It's harvest time. And enlarge our coast. Enlarge our place, Lord, where we're restricted, where we're hemmed in, where we're stuck, where we're tied up. Enlarge our coast. Enlarge the place of that daughter, that brother. Enlarge the place of that brother, that sister. God, you've got more for us, and that thine hand might be with us. The hand of God, clearly seen, is with you. Hand of blessing, that you would keep us from evil in an evil time and an evil day. Keep us, keep our substance, keep our families, keep our finances. Keep us when many others are failing, of which we are not pleased in any way about and praying for. But keep us in these perilous times. Keep us from evil. Keep us from pain. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We don't have much time to pray, most of us. We can do it. We've done it all by this time. But Lord, the pain, keep us from pain. And not only keep us from pain, but keep us from being a pain to you and to others. Help us to be a plus, to be an asset, to be a blessing. That when they see us coming, they get a smile on their face. A little smile comes in the corner of their mouth. I see her coming. I see him coming. And she is always a blessing. Always has a good word to say. Always has a smile. He always ready to help. Ready to give freely whatever talents and gifts they have. Oh, that it would not cause us pain. That we would not cause pain to others, Lord. Father, wherever you have been pained, I ask you to forgive us. Can you humble yourself with me, church? Can anyone say they've done it perfectly? I don't think so, including this preacher. Father, forgive us for our sins of commission, things we've done and we know we've done, places that you've commanded us in the Word to do this and that and we have not done, or not done it consistently, or have done it haphazardly. Thank you that you have not treated us in the same way. God, forgive us for sins of commission. And then sins of omission, things that we should have done but we didn't do. We know to do, or we didn't know to do. Omission, we omitted things. And then, Lord, forgive us for sins of disposition. When our disposition has not been because of our pain, our suffering. God, heal us. Help us. Let us cheerfully, cheerfully, in Jesus' name, cheerfully give this week. As you lead us, as you guide us, help us to do it, Father, with a cheerful heart. Lord, knowing that you love it. Everything we do, you love when we are cheerful givers. We want to do something that you love, Lord. We love when people do things we love. But we're here to please you, Lord. We're here to put a smile on your face. You've given us so much. Gave us your Son, that unspeakable, indescribable, good gift. Thanks be unto God who has given us this wonderful gift. Father, help us. Help us with selfishness. Help us with self-centeredness. Help us with a me generation. Help us, Lord. Give us a giver's mentality. Give us a giver's heart. May we come in looking where we can give. What can I give? What can I bring today? Knowing that in giving, we will be receiving in proportion to our giving. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for preparing us. Thank you for getting us ready. Thank you for the blessing of Jabez. Hallelujah. And the Lord heard his prayer and blessed Jabez. Blessed him. Father, I thank you, and the Lord bless you. Lord, bless that one next to that one. Hallelujah. And Father, as we leave here today, Let them leave with a sense of your thankfulness, your thanksgiving in their life. Let them leave with a positive. Yes, it takes negative and positive to turn the light on. And we are challenged, and you may have spoken, and I believe you have today to all of us. Help us to be better. We can be, we are better than this. Most of us, we can be better. Thank you for what you've brought us to and how far you've brought us. But Lord, help us not to stop here. Help us to do things that you love. And one is giving our time, our talent, and our treasury. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for it. I bless each one today. May they walk out of here feeling the blessing of God for every act of kindness they've ever done, every giving of their beautiful hearts, oh God, and heal the hearts that have been rent and broken in Jesus' name. And may they not draw back, but continue. Maybe not in that place. They may not be able to give there. That would not be wise, but let them continue to give love, give forgiveness, continue to send good things. God makes the rain to shine on the just and the unjust, the good and the evil. The sun shines on. Water is given. Help us with your love. Fill us with Calvary's love. Because God, sometimes we just don't have it of ourselves. The wounds are too great. The hurt is too much. So fill us with Calvary's love. Said, Father, forgive them. For they really don't know what they're doing. In hurting us, they're hurting you. So, Lord, help us all in these days. I want to thank you and I want to praise you. Whew, I come out of here with praises and blessings. Somebody ought to praise God for the giver he is. Hallelujah! He's a giver. He giveth and giveth and giveth again. The ones God prizes are you. Give somebody a hug and say, I love you. I know you're a giver and I love you. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you.